Sinam Chetasam Visheshanam Chadipataye. Shurushakalaya Chandomayana. Om Hram Hrim Hurum Om Namo Bhagavate Rishikeshaya Sarvaguna Visheshar Vilakshitatmane Akutinam Chitinam Chetasam Visheshanam Charipataye Shurushakalaya Chandomayana Om Hram Hrim Hrum Om Namo Bhagavate Rishikeshaya Sarvaguna Visheshar Vilakshitatmane Akutinam Chatinam Chetasam Visheshanam Chadipataye Shurushakalaya Chandomayana Please chant. Chitinam Chetasam chanting, please. Thank you. chanting, please. Chando Mayana, ladies. Seeds of the mantra chanted for a successful result. Om, O Lord. Namaha. Respectful obeisances. Bhagavate. Unto the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rishikeshaya, unto Rishikesh, the Lord of the senses, Sarvaguna, with all transcendental qualities, Visheshai, with all varieties, Vilakshita, particularly observed, Atmane, unto the soul of all living entities. Akutina, of all kinds of activity. Chitina, of all kinds of knowledge. Chetasam, of the functions of the mind, such as determination and mental effort. Visheshanam, of their respective objects. Cha and Adipataye, unto the master. Shodashakalaya, whose parts are the 16 original ingredients of creation. namely the five objects of the senses and the 11 senses, including the mind. Chandamayaya, unto the enjoyer of all ritualistic ceremonies. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Rishikesha, the controller of all my senses and the origin of everything, as the Supreme Master of all bodily, mental, and intellectual activities. He is the only enjoyer of their results. The five sense objects and 11 senses, including the mind, are his partial manifestations. He supplies all the necessities of life, which are his energy, and thus non-different from him. And he is the cause of everyone's bodily and mental prowess, which is also non-different from him. Indeed, he is the husband and provider of necessities for all living entities. The purpose of all the Vedas is to worship him. Therefore, let us all offer him our respectful obeisances. May he always be favorable toward us in this life and the next. So, just a comment before we begin. This prayer is offered to Pradyumna. And Pradyumna is one of the Chaturvyuha expansions of the Lord. There's no difference between Lord Krishna and his expansions. So when glorification is made to Pradyumna, it also applies to Lord Krishna. So everything is included. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, that he's the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from him. Complete.
In this verse, the word Maya, Maya is further explained in regard to how the Lord expands his mercy in different ways.
Yes, we were hearing yesterday and today also how all the living entities are his parts and parcels. The individual living entities are all his sons. That's one way of looking at it. They're all his sons because they emanate from him. Another way, as mentioned in the verse, is that they're all feminine, prakriti. The para prakriti, apara prakriti. The apara prakriti is mentioned here as the material elements. And the Paraprakriti is the superior energy of the Lord, which are the living entities, Jiva Bhuta. But they're both emanations from him, and as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained, Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. The Lord is at once inconceivably one with and different from everything. This is essential point to understand about how the Lord is everything, but then again, as yesterday that question came up, is the Lord everything? And the answer was yes, He is, and that's correct. But then again, it's recommended to worship the personality of Godhead and hear about His pastimes for those who are more advanced. For those who are not so advanced, then they're advised to meditate upon the Vishwarupa, the form of the universe, the material, apparently material, form of the Lord. It depends on the level of advancement that one is on. It's like sometimes people would say, "Can you show me God? Have you seen God?" And Prabhupada would point out that, yes, you can see God or appreciate God. Everyone has seen the sun. They say, "No, I don't mean that like that." I say, "But that's how Krishna begins in Bhagavad Gita. I'm the light of the sun." Krishna's personally saying. So if you've seen the sun, you've seen God. If you taste water, and everyone has tasted water, then you have experienced God in the form of that taste. So for one who's not so advanced, this is how he should approach the Lord. This is recommended. If he tries to see the form of the Lord as Dvipuja, Shamasundar, Tribhanga Lalitam, what will he see? "Oh, that's just an ordinary man. Avajananti ma mudha." So he's a mudha. He can't go to that level yet. That takes some advancement. Continue with the purport.
Parasya Saktiya Vividaiva Sruyate. The energies of the Supreme Lord are understood in different ways. In this verse, he is described as the original source of everything, even our body, senses, mind, activities, prowess, bodily strength, mental strength, and determination for securing the necessities of life.
So, one may feel that different mistakes can be made. One can think if he's everything and he's the supreme controller, and all my senses are him, my mind is him, he's the living entities are his parts and parts, then I must be God. I'm also God. That's a mistake, because although it's true that everything is him, and qualitatively one has the same attributes as the Lord, there is a quantitative difference. Qualitatively, the drop of water from the ocean has the same constituents as the whole ocean, but in a minute amount. When we understand it like that, then we understand we can never become God, because we never have the full potency. We're small, Anu, and he's Vibhu. So the small can never become the great. Even though qualitatively we're one, he's eternal, nityo nityanam, chaitanas chaitananam. We're eternal. He is conscious. We're also conscious. the nature of the living entities is as servant. He is the master. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karna. He's of all masters, Krishna is the supreme. And his form is Satchidananda. Our form is also Satchidananda, but not this form, not the body we have now. The body we have now is a covering over the spiritual form. We have our spiritual form, but right now it's covered. Just like when someone goes to the prison, they take away his normal clothes. He comes in with his nice clothes. They say, "We're taking those away from you." And they give him a prison uniform. And he says, "I prefer the other one." "No, because you're in prison now, you have to wear this." Once he becomes rectified after the prison term and he's improved himself, his consciousness is better, then they give him his clothes back and he gets his original form, in a sense. So similarly, we've come to this material world, now we have to take this prison dress. Anyone who has a material body, he's a prisoner. We can't be too proud of our material body because, after all, it's glaring. It's a glaring statement that I'm a criminal. And whether one is first class criminal or second class or third class, he's still a criminal. So any pride that we have, I have a beautiful criminal outfit, I'm whatever pride that we have of our body or anything connected with the body, actually it's all contaminated. It's contaminated because we have given up Krishna Bhayur Mukahana Bhogavanchakare Nikatasta Mayatare Japatiya Dhane. We've turned away from Krishna due to our envy of him. And now we've been slapped down by the material energy. And her job is to give us trouble. Daivihyesha gunamaye mamamaya dharatyaya tukalayam ashashvatam. This place is meant for suffering. Just like a prison. If you go to a prison as a prisoner, then you can expect that they're going to give you trouble. You don't say, "I prefer a different menu, I prefer different dress, I prefer a different room, this one doesn't have enough light." Doesn't matter. Say, "You're in prison, you're meant to suffer." This needs to be understood from the very beginning. Bhagavad Gita is explaining that this place is this place of sort of abrahma bhuvana loka puna avitanarjana mamu pejita kontaya pranjamana vijate. From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who takes shelter of me, he can get beyond it. So that's the solution to get out of all suffering. There's so many books on the market, how to become happy, how to become rich, as if becoming rich, so-called rich, makes one happy. Or having sense gratification makes one happy. Actually, they don't know how to become happy. The proof is they're in the prison. And they're happily living in the prison trying to enjoy themselves. Just like when we drive here from Delhi, we see there was some rain this last week, and so there was a big pond created. And there are many pigs there. And some were in the pond, or actually it was not a pond, it was a cesspool. And some were lying down. But none of us were envious. We were not thinking they're enjoying, because we're thinking, oh, disgusting, eating stool and living in such a... So that's... We have to see the whole material world like that. Any position. Just like whether one is Brahma, one should see Brahma. Brahma's position as no better than an insect. Just like we don't envy an insect. Similarly, we should not envy Brahma's position. Or Indra. Indra is a little more flamboyant lifestyle. We may think that it would be nice to be Indra. But Indra also suffers so much anxiety. Sometimes he's dethroned. He's humiliated. He's even, because of his material desires, he was cursed to have 1,000 vaginas all over his body. So that's worse than our position. So if you think I'll be the king of heaven, I'll enjoy, but that's worse than what we've got now. So there's no pleasure here. What we're taking as pleasure is simply momentary lapse of intense suffering. So during that momentary lapse, we take that as pleasure. Just like the person who's being punished, the dunking stool, his head goes underwater, and his air supply is almost finished, and then they lift his head up above the water, and he thinks, oh, this is wonderful, this is bliss, and then down again. That's material life. So whenever you start thinking that you're enjoying, when one is in full youth, there's a tendency to forget about growing old and diseases and suffering. More inclination just to think that I have full opportunity for enjoyment. But one should not take that temptation. Komara achare pragyo dharmam bhagavataniha. One should take it from as soon as possible. As soon as one comes in contact with Krishna consciousness, he should immediately accept it. Don't wait. Because time is short, lifetime goes fast, and we have to finish our business before we get out of this material world, before we get out of this material body. Otherwise, we have to take another material body, and we may not have such a great opportunity as we have now. We may be born in a different circumstance. What could be better than the circumstance we have right now? We're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. We're residing or visiting Vrindavan or an ISKCON temple or chanting the holy names. We have the perfect opportunity to finish up our business very easily. Lord Chaitanya has made it easy. Kevala Ananda Kanda. So let us take this opportunity. Please continue.
Indeed, the Lord's energies can be perceived in everything. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 8, Rasoham apsukantiya. The taste of water is also Krishna. Krishna is the active principle of everything we need for our maintenance.
Sometimes people say, I think that you Hare Krishna people are narrow-minded. Why don't you expand and study other things, involve yourselves in other things? It's just too restrictive. You only chant Hare Krishna. But if they actually understood Krishna, that he's the active principle of everything, he's the source of everything, the material energies is his own energy, he's everywhere. Vishnu means all pervasive, all the sound comes from him. Panava sarva vedeshu shabdake purushamnishu, and the sound in ether. If they were to understand that, then they couldn't say that it's too narrow-minded, you need to expand. Actually, this is everything. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted that our children should simply study Bhagavatam. No need for other books. What is the need for other books? If they become Bhagavat scholars, they know everything. Yasmin vigate sarvam etam vigatam bhavati. One who knows Krishna, he knows everything. And he would point that out. He said, how am I challenging all these scientists? I'm not a scientist. He said, but I'm challenging on the basis of knowing Krishna. Therefore, I can give information on all subjects and defeat them. And it's a fact. So the more we have, we study Srimad Bhagavatam, we live Srimad Bhagavatam, because simply academic study or scholarly studying will not help. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. One has to live it. Atma bhakto means he has to surrender to Krishna as Krishna demands. Manmana bhavamad bhakto majja jimam namaskuru ami vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Krishna has a mission for us. He's given us a mission. We came here with a different mission. Kalo shudra sambhava. Everyone's born shudra. So the shudra is interested in sense gratification. But Krishna has given us a mission to come back to Godhead. Come back to Godhead means come back to Krishna. And a pure devotee is happy wherever Krishna sends him. Narayana paras sarvena katashchana bibhyati svarga pavarga nadakeshu apituliyarta darshana. I was thinking about that verse the other day. If I were sent to hell, I don't know how enthusiastic I would be. But at least, theoretically, we can carry on with our service that we have now, which sometimes is hellish. And we can prepare ourselves for whatever comes. Narad Muni sometimes goes to hell and preaches and delivers all the souls there, so they're not forgotten. Devotees are so merciful. They go everywhere. Is there any more in the purport?
This verse, offering respectful obeisances unto the Lord, was composed by Rama, the goddess of fortune, and is full of spiritual power. Under the guidance of a spiritual master, everyone should chant this mantra and thus become a complete and perfect devotee of the Lord. One may chant this mantra for complete liberation from material bondage, and after liberation, one may continue to chant it while worshipping the Supreme Lord in Vaikuntha Loka. All mantras, of course, are meant for this life and the next life, as Krishna himself confirms in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, verse 14.
When Gajendra, the elephant,
Satatam Kirtayanto.
It's okay. I want to make a point about Gajendra the elephant. He was caught in the crocodile's grip, and he was trying to fight against the crocodile, but he was losing. And it appeared that he was going to be defeated. He was in the water. The crocodile had him, dragged him into the water. But he remembered some verses from his previous life, and he chanted that verse with great sincerity. Sometimes when we're in difficulty, we chant more sincerely, more attentively. So he chanted so sincerely that the Lord actually came, Lord Vishnu came, riding on the back of Garuda, and saved him, liberated him from that miserable condition. So don't think that these shlokas that we're chanting will go in vain. All these mantras, we may remember, at least if we remember one mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. The Maha Mantra, the greatest, Sarva Vedeshu Drishyati Iti Shodashakam Nam Nam Kavikalma Shanashanam. This mantra is recommended throughout all the Vedas. There's no better way to counteract the effect of the material energy. So at least we should chant 16 rounds every day. For those who want to become liberated, for those who don't want to take birth again in this material, it's easy to chant 16 rounds. You just have to set aside some time. We have to adjust our priorities. We have other priorities. I have to make more money. I have to take care of this. I have to do that. But our priority is chant 16 rounds minimum and follow the four regulative principles. That's the formula. 4 plus BTG, or 16 plus 4 equals BTG, back to Godhead. That's our mathematics. And don't think that Krishna can't. There's so many devotees now. So how can he take care of all of them? Will he have enough room in Vaikuntha or Goloka? Even one of the Vaikuntha planets is bigger than the whole material manifestation. And Goloka is bigger than all the Vaikuntha planets. And besides that, there's no such thing as space as we know it that's limited. Because space as we know it, just like come. Come means space. There's limit. It's not unlimited. Because it comes from him. We may think, well, what's greater than space? That's how we become impersonalists. The impersonalists think, what's there beyond space? There can't be anything beyond space because space is unlimited. But it's not unlimited. It has its limit because it's manifest by the Lord in a particular place. But the spiritual world, that is transcendentally unlimited. So there's no restrictions. He can accommodate all the souls, and he can satisfy all of them with personal relationship with him. Someone might think, How can it be so personal if he's relating with millions of other living entities or there? I'll feel neglected. But we can see Krishna gives a little sample when he came to this planet. Dwarka is a, shall we say, a piece of Vaikuntha. It's a little piece of Vaikuntha. And he displayed his Vaikuntha pastimes there. And he married 16,108 wives. Now, you can just imagine if you married 16,108 wives, how would you keep them all satisfied? Some of them would, there would be some mutiny. They would not be very happy. But Krishna is so great, he expanded himself as 16,108 forms, so that each queen considered that Krishna is always by my side. He doesn't go anywhere else. He's so much in love with me. And that way they were satisfied. So don't think that Krishna is limited. He won't be able to satisfy. He knows exactly what we want, and he arranges. Even in this life, if we look at it objectively, we'll see Krishna has made the perfect arrangement to bring me to devotional service. Who could have imagined any other way that I could have surrendered to Krishna other than the perfect way Krishna arranged? I'm sure everyone has their story. If they hadn't been at a certain place at a particular time, hadn't been in this circumstance, how would they have surrendered to Krishna? Krishna made the arrangement, and he continues to make the arrangement to keep us engaged in devotional service. He gives us just the right number of sweet balls to keep us going, and just the right number of preparations that are sour or sometimes not enough that we might like, but that's also for our benefit. Everything, every particular thing that is happening is working under the Lord's yogamaya. One time, someone asked Prabhupada whether Arjuna was under Mahamaya or Yogamaya. And Prabhupada commented, and he replied that he's under both. When he was refusing to act according to Krishna's instruction, he was under Mahamaya. And when he accepted and surrendered, then he was under Yogamaya. I know there's other statements about that, but that was one particular time. And that, I find that quite nice, because we can be under Mahamaya as long as we refuse to surrender to Krishna. And as soon as we agree, then we're under Yogamaya. And Yogamaya makes all arrangements for the devotees and Krishna's pleasure. So thank you very much. Is there more? Please.
Satatam kithayantu mam yatatascha dridravataha namashantascha mam bhakcha nicha yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, the great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. A devotee who both in this life and the next chants the Maha Mantra or any mantra is called Nicha Yukto Vasaka.
Thank you very much for your kind attention. If there's any questions or comments, we have a few minutes.
Maharaj, can you share from your personal life a time where you thought you were lacking something what you needed and then later realized it was the mercy of the Lord?
Yes. I was thinking that I needed to have always a youthful body and good health. I was thinking that that's what I'm going to do in this life. I know I'll grow old, And I'll still be able to dance more than all my God brothers. And I'll still keep a youthful, even though I'll engage in devotional service. But Krishna may have another plan. But that other plan is better, because we need to see when the body starts to dwindle. That's good for us, because then we become detached from this material energy. So don't think that that's a bad thing. Old age, disease, janma mrityu, jara vyadhi, dukkha dosha anadarshana. These miseries are good for us. That's why the demigods in the heavenly planets, they pray to take birth on Bharadvarsha, because they're just having too much enjoyment there. They can't. Too much enjoyment. It's just the beautiful apsaras are thousands and thousands of times more beautiful. The apsaras make our women look like frogs. We're already attracted to these women. Imagine if we were there, we'd be completely, we don't even want to think about it. The scriptures say sometimes that just seeing them causes one to lose all of his composure completely. So be thankful that you're in Bharadvarsha, where there's not so much enjoyment, where there's still some nice, blissful miseries to help us to realize and become serious about Krishna consciousness. Any other?
Is the message similar to the Christians? We're sinful, suffer, grit our teeth, crushed by old age and disease, and therefore we surrender to Krishna? Or what about the internal, just like one's getting older, but what about the internal happiness of Krishna consciousness? Is it just grit your teeth and hold on till you drop dead?
Even if it is, it's not, but it's not like that. But even if it were, it's worth it. Even taking it to the full extent, even if it were just suffering, although it's not, because I know I gave up religion more or less, became an agnostic before I joined, because the idea of it was interrupting my pleasure. Going to church on Sunday, I preferred the beach. So as long as I had to do things like go to church, dress up in some clothes I didn't feel comfortable in, miss out on all the enjoyment, I wasn't interested. And then I met the devotees, chanting and dancing down the street. Now this was pleasure. And then the feast, that was even more pleasure. Meeting Srila Prabhupada, hearing Bhagavad Gita. So it's blissful. But even if it weren't blissful, it's worth it. But fortunately, it's also blissful. If you get eternal pleasure, I think all of us have experienced some happiness in Krishna consciousness, isn't it? At least some. Yes. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama.